It was Palm Sunday and the family were at church, but the six-year-old son had caught a virus and had to stay away. And when the rest of the family returned home, they were all carrying palm branches. Obviously because it was Palm Sunday. The little boy said, well, what were them palm branches for? His mother said, well, people held them over Jesus, his head as he walked by. Wouldn't you know what the little boy fumed? The one Sunday I don't go to church and Jesus shows up. Now that can be just like us. I want to tell you, Jesus shows up all the time because of grace. And we have over the last few weeks discovered something important regarding our everyday life. And it's in Romans 12:1. That series is finished. It's on the internet. And I suggest you listen to it because there was a message given to us in the porter cabin this morning which verified what I've been preaching in a few weeks. That God wants us to live out our everyday, normal, working day life for His glory. I asked God for a word this morning and a word was brought to us in the porter cabin. God wants us in our everyday, normal, working day life to see for His glory, not our working everyday Sunday morning life, but our normal working day, everyday life, the Monday to Saturday bit. And we have gone over that, and it's on the internet. There are three sermons, they're only 20 minutes long, when they're not even huge long sermons. The big problem, though, is how do we work out our everyday life? How do we put into practice what we fully, truly do not understand in the sense of who we are and what is grace? What is grace? And these two areas must be completely understood, otherwise we'll never be able to walk out our everyday normal working life. We'll always feel, as so many people are, every day, feeling that we're not worthy. Every time we slip up, we're then bound and bound and bound because we've slipped up. We do not fully understand what grace is. And the enemy has used us. And we've become so trapped in it that we know 1 John 1 9 off by heart. 1 John 1 verse 9. We know it off by heart because it's something we wake up with in the sense of knowing I'm going to fail today. I want to tell you, friend, that's not grace. Not grace. And then we just cannot get through the day because we're now subject to the one who used to own us. It's the greatest grace killer in human mankind is the whispering of the enemy. The Bible tells us he is our accuser day and night. And some of us are bought onto our accuser. Every time he comes into the presence of God, we're accusing you and me. Look at him. Look at her. God points him to his son and says, that's my son whose blood covers every single one of them. Don't you come into my presence accusing them. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed them from every sin they've ever committed. To finish work is grace. It's done. It's a great grace killer. We don't appreciate what we have. Therefore, we can't walk in it. That's why we can't walk around with a smile. And I'm not talking about a giggy, silly, stupid smile like this all the time. But I'm walking about walking every day with a smile in her side that knows that I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. The minister in Baghdad, he says this. I know I can live because He lives. And he sang that old song. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone. He holds, I know, He holds my future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Friend, that's what it's all about. He walks through Baghdad every single day and he isn't worried well about the bomber comes because he knows his Savior lives. He can face that tomorrow. That's why every day of our life we can walk. We are not dreaded down in the boundary of sin. We're free. We're liberated in Christ this morning. We have grace. Grace pours over us this morning. We can walk. And we can walk with a smile in our hearts because He lives. Because we know it's never about us. It's always about Him. And we need to understand it. In the next few weeks, we are going to look very steadily into this subject of grace and into this subject of freedom. Do you know the American slaves in the plantations? And Abraham Lincoln said, we've got to stop this slavery. And that ended up in a civil war where thousands of Americans killed thousands of Americans. It was called the Battle of Independence. And then one day, they were free. The black man was free. He no longer had to go into the plantations. He no longer had to be flogged and beaten and cruelly mistreated. The word came. Slavery has ended. You have been set free. The blood of so many American people had won the day. Do you know the tragedy of this? Is that over 80% of the Negro slaves remained in slavery because they didn't know anything else. They remained in the plantations. They remained beaten. They remained to be mistreated. And yet they were free. They could have walked out of there any time they wanted. They were free human beings at last. But because they knew nothing but beatings, nothing but the slavery and the mistreatment they'd lived in, they couldn't accept freedom. And they stayed and died in the plantations in America. A few did obviously realize their freedom and walked away free. I want to tell you that it's the same in the Christian life. Jesus Christ set us free. But so many of us have been so enslaved with our lives in the past and with the enemy whispering over us, we're not worthy, we are useless, we are pathetic, that we are living and we can't break free because we're still living in the slavery conditions which we were before Christ touched our hearts. Let's read them together. I want to read this together because, listen, you are no longer a slave. My friend, you are free. You don't have to live in the plantation of sin any longer. Jesus has set you free to walk out of the plantation of sin. And it didn't cost thousands of American lives. It cost the blood of His only begotten Son. Let's read them. For he who is dead is free from... What are you? I can't hear the word. We are. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you. And do you know, we don't know the truth. We're saved. I'm not talking about not being saved. Fully born, begotten of the Son of God. But we have lived in a mindset. We allow people to whisper things into us. Negative things of this world. That we've become so entrenched that the Son of God can't set us free. Because we'd rather believe the word of the enemy than we'll believe the word of Jesus. And we've all been down that path. If the Son therefore shall make you, what are you? Now, I could go on, there's thousands of scriptures. We're not going to get through any of this morning, but I really do believe God is really wanting to speak this morning. So many of you are caught up in that trap. So many of you can't be what God created you to be. I've lived in it. I've lived in that image. I'm not saying improving your image is wrong, because that's the point of sanctification, isn't it? The sanctification is the process of getting more nearer, and more nearer to Jesus every day. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the self-image that people either put on us, or the self-image that we look up to on the morning. And you can see what he has a mirror. And I want to tell you, so many can't look in the mirror on the morning and have that freedom and joy in the Spirit to know, hey, today, Monday, I'm a child of God. I am free. I am free not to serve sin anymore. I am free to serve Christ. Let not sin have dominion over you, says Paul. He wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. Every morning we probably wake up, and that's probably the first thing we say, well, Father, if I sin today, thank you that I can. And we've got a mindset to think, well, I'm going to go out and sin today. Just like the slaves had the mindset of, we're not free, we might as well go back to the plantation. First John wrote that scripture, only, in case we slip up. Read the verses before that. The verses before that, John says, we walk now in a newness of life. We now have fellowship with the Father. We can enjoy everything that God has given us this morning because we're free people. We're freed by the blood of Jesus. We are in fellowship. We are no longer in darkness. We're in light. But, if we do trip up, we have an advocate with the Father. But it's only if we trip up. That little word is if we sin, not should we sin. I think I'm going to wake up knowing I am going to sin. No, John's saying, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But today you can walk in victory every day of your life. You can walk in victory because he that sets you free is free. But it's the world. It's the world in which we live in. Every human being struggles with self-worth and self-acceptance. I don't know anyone that I've ever met who at times in their life have not struggled with self-worth and self-acceptance. And some of us have gone to all sense of lengths to do it. All sense of lengths. The truth is that the world looks upon us without physical body. How do you look? They want to change our image and how we look. Magazines are spread all over. People receiving facelifts all over. People just wanting to improve every bits of their body for the self-image. Are you looked at with what intelligence do you have? Or what athletic ability do you have? Or what talents do you have? How self-esteem is in these things. The average person can have feelings of inferiority because they don't think they look beautiful enough. I don't have a problem in that area. But intelligence might have a problem in that area though. As hard as I did to get my degree, I had a slog to get my degree. It didn't come easy. But as a self-worth, a self-image that the world has placed upon us. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what colour you are, you're beautiful. I don't care, it doesn't matter how successful you are. You're beautiful in God. I don't care what background you come from or who you hang out with. You're accepted by God. Even what car you drive. I drive a Skoda. I can remember 10 years ago driving a Skoda would have been a huge joke. Do you know now it's the third best car in the market in sales? Third best car in the market in sales. Not as good as the XF Jag, Rob. I'm just keep putting that over to you. But 10 years ago, if I'd driven into the Ministry of Defence with a Skoda, it would have been a joke. Anybody remember the larders? Do you remember the old larder cars? And we had a guy near WE who drove a larder. What, he drives a larder? We can buy into the world's image. And we can get ourselves into debt so we buy a car that we think associates with what the image of this world wants to put upon us. God accepts you whether you drive a larder or a Skoda. Hallelujah. I remember Tony Anthony. And he's the man who wrote that great book. And I know some of you have read it. And the prisoner, a man who was the world karate champion three times. The world karate champion three times. The one who went off the rails and, well, I'm not going into his past life. The book is worth reading. But he came to stay with me for the weekend. And I took him into prison. And his life story that just was changing lives in prison. Wonderful man of God. And as we're walking back, you know, he said to me, he said, "You've got a testimony, Edward?" I said, "Well, I haven't got really got a testimony. You know, Tony, compared to you, I've got not what I'm saying. You've got a testimony, Edward. Tell me it." Because I thought I had to be a karate, somebody who murdered someone, who'd done all this bad stuff, in order to have a testimony. Saying, "Eddie, you don't. You've got a testimony to tell." And he says, "I'll tell you something. Your testimony," he said, "you might think it's like a Skoda." He said, "Well, mine is a Rolls Royce, which I like to drive in." I said, "Well, Tony, I've got some news for you, mate. I'm taking you home this weekend, and you're going to drive in a Skoda." And he got round and he saw the Skoda. He said, "Oh, Eddie, I didn't mean anything by that," he said. I says, "It's okay, mate. Wait till you see the Skoda go." But it was still an image. I know what he was saying, but he quoted the image of a Skoda and a Rolls Royce. It is an image. It's an image that so many of us have bought onto. And therefore, we struggle with it. And therefore, we have to do two things. We either have to embrace what the world thinks about us. In other words, we say to ourselves, "Well, I'm going to do whatever fits in. My friends don't like my hair, so I'll change it. My friends don't like the way I look. I'll do something about it. I don't really get in that gang because I won't do this." There was a young 14-year-old boy. And the people, all his friends were saying, "You don't listen to this music, you're not into this." So he listened to it. And one of the songs on the track said, "Go and hang yourself." So the boy, 14-year-old, took a piece of rope on his bedroom and he hung himself. And his parents came in and found him. And the LP was still playing. Because he was caught up in the image of the world. And he wanted to be accepted, so he embraced it. He embraced it. "I'll do whatever it takes to fit in. Even in my Christian, I'll do whatever it takes to fit in." Friend, that's slavery. That's not freedom. Because the problem with embracing it is the rules always change. You see, I know a young girl. Well, I call her young. She's younger than me. And her husband was telling me about her on Monday. One night when I popped round for tea. And he said, "You know, she used to have black hair, black eyeshadow, a black skirt. And I think they called it gothic." Sorry? "Goth." Well, I don't care who he is. But, you're quite right, there is no it. Ban it. Because the rules always change in fashion. You see, if she was to wear that stuff nowadays, what would they be saying? "Ooh, that's so yesterday. Oh, that's soon 5 minutes ago." Eh? What is it? It would, wouldn't it? Nowadays, you just wear what you want, you women. There are no boundaries. But this goth, without the it, was what was the fashion. Embraced it. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not going to tell you who it is at all. I don't know whether she looked good. I was trying to find a photograph, but she couldn't show me a photograph of it. But let me tell you, when you embrace what the world wants you, your big problem is it changes. I want to tell you, grace never changes. Hallelujah! Grace never changes. Now, us men, we don't have a problem with image. We can wear the same suit 20 years ago as what we... No, seriously, do we? We can only have two suits all day. Rob, how old's your suit if it still fits? Listen, I'm not being funny here, but I believe your dad was Your dad was buried in the suit he was married in. But you women wouldn't do that, would you? Oh, no, that's so yesterday, isn't it? Well, it is. This week's Devon's outfit is no good for next week's Devon's outfit. That's why us men have to work three times as hard. We can't keep up with your bills. It's so yesterday. We live, can you remember the 60s? And the miniskirt came in. Did you wear a miniskirt? But do you remember it, girls? Come on, girls. Do you remember when the miniskirt came in? The fashion completely changed overnight, didn't it? And I remember going on the disco floor with these shoes. They were about this big. And I was trying to do this. And I wondered why I had broken ankles and I couldn't walk. I remember them. I bet they were this big, easy. I was the coolest guy on the block. But 6 months later, I had to bin them because they were out of fashion. Plus, I had broken ankles, which didn't help either. But it was so yesterday. But the trouble is, when we are hanging on to what people want us to be, and everything we have is that we want to fit into society, and we want to embrace everything that society has, we become under the control and manipulation of what society expects from us. But when we come under the manipulation of grace, and then we know what grace does. Oh, set you free. Set you free. Because the second thing is, you can never be yourself. If you live in a world where you are so one to embrace, so you can be accepted by your school friends or by only your friends, you can never be yourself. Your worth is based on what you do and what other people say. I wonder. It happens in Christian life. Don't tell me it doesn't. It does. We're too worried at what people think and what people say about us. Grace says, I love you. I've empowered you as my child. That's what I think of you. Love wants to draw near to you this morning. Grace wants to come over you this morning. Why? So that you can go out and live your everyday, normal, working day life knowing you have this supernatural freedom that God has enclosed upon you. I'm free. I'm free at last. Free not for licentiousness, not to do as I please. But I don't wake up the tomorrow morning thinking I'm going to sin. I used to. That used to be my way of life, Ephesians chapter 2. Now I wake up tomorrow morning knowing I'm in the freedom of Jesus Christ. I've got a prayer that we're going to pray, and we're not going to get through the sermon, but hopefully I'm going to put the prayer up, even if we continue this next week. You see, the other thing is, you either embrace people, or you do this. You rebel against it. You don't say, I don't need your acceptance. I don't need your value. You don't really mean it inside. You're just rejecting what they're putting upon you. And you become like Simon Garfunkel once wrote, I am a rock, I am an island. And you become a withdrawn person inside. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ never created any islands. He created you and I to have fellowship one with another. We are no rocks. We are dependent only on the rock of God. And what happens if you can't feel you're accepted? You go into an inner shell and you don't want anybody to speak to us. We don't want any contact. We want to live in our inner shell where we think we can draw our own comfort and strength from it. Friend, it never works. Never works because we're not capable of living a life of independence. Because we were never designed nor created to be that. You can't live a life where you were not created for. That is a problem. God created you to have fellowship with Him and with Jesus said, all men will know that you are my disciples when you love one another, when you have fellowship with one another, when you're meeting one another, when you're around with one another. There's something about the early church in the book of Acts that we need to look into because it was full of meeting together daily and meeting together in fellowship and having the same things together and the same communion together. We were not an isolated people. We were not created for isolation. We are created for separation, but not isolation. I want to tell you, in every human being, there's a real need to belong and to be accepted. There is a real need. And I tell you what, that's not wrong. Because God gave us a real need to be accepted. It's where we are putting our acceptance this morning. It's when you cannot look in the mirror in the morning. It's when there's no joy in your life. Not a silliness, not a giddiness, but a no joy. Like that man in Iraq, that wonderful minister in Iraq, can say, I can face tomorrow. Why? Because he lives. I'm waking up tomorrow morning knowing that he lives. Because my dependence is on him. Let me tell you the creation story. God created night and day. And what did God say? It was. Thank you. He created the birds and the bees and the beasts and the fields and the water. And he said, it was. Then he created man, the supreme creation. And he said, it was very good. Read this, please. Come on, I want you to get this because we don't buy into grace. Grace will set us free when we know it. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his. What did he create him in? Created him. You know he repeats it twice in the same verse, doesn't he? He wants you, it's a double barrel. God created man in his own image. And just in case you don't get it, in the image of God created he him. Have you ever noticed that? It's a double barrel. God wants you to know, Simon, that God created you exactly as you are. He didn't want to change you. Sarah constantly probably does. But Simon, you just keep saying, I am a man. I am perfect. No, don't. Cut that out of the script. But listen, God created us in his own. How can you not be good? Jesus said it was very good. Sorry, I'm not going to slap you, Shannon. Don't worry. It was very good, Shannon. Shannon, you're very good. Not in behavior, but you're very good. Oh, friends, come on. This is what grace is. Grace means I look in the mirror every morning and say, I am in the image of God. I am created very, very good. I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm not preaching a mind thing. An ideology. I'm preaching scripture. God says Eddie Lawrence was made in the image of God. In the image of God made he Eddie Lawrence. And then he went on, I'm going to add some females in too. So therefore he created Tina Roberts in the image of God. In the image of God created he her. You can't argue with it. You can deny it. But that won't make it any less true. You can disbelieve it, but it doesn't make it any less true. Man was created, but not alone. Because God said, listen, man, you need to be belong and accept. No, I'm serious, men. Men, you are created, but you can never make life on your own, men. We need to get this. So God said, I believe man needs a companion. Not somebody to stamp your feet over. He said, I believe you need someone with a companion, someone whom you can love, someone you can embrace, someone you can have intimacy with, someone you can share life's journey with. That's the difference between a man and a wife when they get together. It's not a total authoritarian by the man to whip and beat or do whatever he thinks with his wife. God forbid that should be happening in the Christian home. Because that's not grace, that's licentiousness. God said, we men need to be valued and accepted. And therefore, I'm going to give you someone that will help you to achieve that. I'm going to give you a woman. So men, praise God for women. Thank you. People who tell me they don't need anybody, they're wrong. Because the Bible tells me they do. The Bible tells me they do. I think we've got to end here. It's 12:15. So much more to say just even on this one. We'll probably continue it next week. And I want to tell you something. The most important thing is this. Let me put this up. It's more important, though, in the spiritual sense, to understand this concept between God and ourselves. We have created an image of God that is not biblical. I believe Romans 6 is so important, and that's what we're going to deal with in the next few weeks. We are going to deal with Romans chapter 6. And unless you can grasp this chapter and see yourself as God sees you, you will always remain captive. And this is what the enemy is seeking to do. We are saved but still bound. The enemy is still seeking to save us. I'm going to fly through these things. These are all going to be on next week. because I'm finished now. But this is the prayer I want you to pray. Let's get rid of the prayer that I'm going to fail every day. This is the prayer. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, and I am your child. I am liberated and dependent on your power. Therefore, Christ, this is your day to be lived for your glory. Work through my eyes, my mouth, and my action to carry out your victory. And Lord, do that all day long. When I face temptation, I will present myself to you and claim the strength you give to handle it. Sin has no authority over me any longer. That is a prayer of victory, a prayer of declaration to God to say, I, Eddie Lawrence, am born again under the grace of God. I have no authority over sin any longer living in my life. And today, Lord, with your power, I can get a victorious Christian life. I'm saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me.